Thank you for helping us make Budget Again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for more than 2.5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to standing with you again in 2011. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues, etc.
We are certainly aware of a recent string of attacks against Christians from Iraq to Egypt to Nigeria.
I'm not some kind of a psychic, so I want everybody to understand that, but I ask God for direction, and He very graciously gives it to me from time to time.
I think you can expect tremendous material coming from the mainstream press this year focusing on the Democrats have learned their lesson and they're going to try to get religion again.
I don't know where we got this. He hates sin but loves the sinner. He damned sinners. And were not for Christ, that would be the last word. That would be all there is.
Indiana truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Seems terrible and kind of cold-hearted to admit it, but some things do go up and down with the economy. And sad to say, it appears from the latest survey of abortion rates in the U.S. that abortion is one of them. When the economy is doing well, people feel confident about all sorts of things, including having kids. When the economy sags, it appears that people feel less confident about all things, including keeping their children. Could this be true? And if it's true, it says an awful lot about us as a people, doesn't it? Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is going to join us here for the first few minutes of this hour of Issues, Etc., to talk about a new survey of abortion rates in the U.S. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin, live this Tuesday afternoon, the 11th of January. Thanks for tuning us in. After a conversation with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse, we'll discuss two issues with Shane Rosenthal of the White Horse Inn. First, the Jesus of Bill O'Reilly and Stephen Colbert, two raconteurs in their own right. And we'll talk about a TV ad that featured a pastor who replaces the bread and wine of Holy Communion with Doritos and Pepsi Max. We'll see what Shane Rosenthal, the White Horse Inn, thinks about that. Our call-in number, live this Tuesday, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page. Chime in on either the Doritos and Pepsi Communion or the Jesus of Bill O'Reilly and Stephen Colbert, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder and president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Fighting a brutal cold, but still pushing through. What exactly is an unintended pregnancy? We hear a lot of that kind of rhetoric.
Well, you know, I was looking that up, and I can't really tell you what's an unintended pregnancy. There's another term out there called unwanted pregnancy. But, you know, unintended, if you think about it, except for a case of rape, you really can't say that that pregnancies are unintended. I mean, maybe the mother doesn't want the baby, maybe the father doesn't want the baby, but babies come about as a result of an activity which has as its perfectly natural end and perfectly well-known end, a baby, you know. So except for rape, it really doesn't make much sense to talk about unintended pregnancy because everybody pretty much knows what causes this thing. So that's kind of an odd usage. But the statistic, I was looking this up, the statistic for so-called unwanted pregnancy seems to be itself kind of murky, and it asks people, it asks mothers to look back over the births that they had over the last few years and to say, which of these births, were any of these births not wanted or probably not wanted at the time of becoming pregnant? So it's an extremely subjective measure asking a mother to look back in retrospect and say, did you really want this baby or not? You know, I just can't quite figure out what the number even means to say this baby is or is not wanted.
Is it true? I mean, do you accept that there's a correlation between people's confidence in our economy and the abortion rate?
Well, that does seem to be the case. You know, in other words, when people are feeling confident about the economy, they're willing to take a flyer on having another kid. And that when people are, are nervous or have had some decline in their real wealth, then they're not so confident about having another child, which really tells you in a way that childbirth is kind of a leading indicator of hope. If you really get right down to it, you know, what's the most hopeful thing you can do in this life, and that's to give birth to a new baby. You know, there's nothing more useless in a way than a newborn baby, but there's no more greater sign of hope in the future and confidence in the future than having a new baby. And so when people short circuit that they're in a way signaling you. You could look at it the other way around, Todd. You could look at it that whenever somebody has an abortion, they're telling you they don't have any hope, for at least not for that particular life. They have no hope for that life, and so they're signaling to you that they in some way feel hopeless. So, you know, maybe the thing to be tracking is abortion itself. Maybe that's what's telling us how people are really feeling, and the economy is kind of, you know, out there. You know, is another thing that people are reacting to. I don't know. I'm making this up, Todd, today, because these kind of numbers drive me crazy when people like the Guttmacher Institute and that come out with these kind of numbers as if they know for sure what is an unintended pregnancy, as if they know what an unwanted pregnancy is, as if they know why, with moral certainty, people have abortions. You know, we're really in an area where we don't know what we're talking about. And so the scientific precision that people are assigning to these numbers seems to me to be completely, completely misplaced and misleading.
Well, laying aside any hope for scientific precision, what would you say? Does the abortion industry play upon the hopelessness of women?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't think there's any doubt that the abortion industry, what they're selling is a quick solution to a problem, you know, and so it's to their interest that you see the child as a problem, not as a possibility, not as a gift, you know, but that the child's a problem and they have the solution to it, you know. A friend of mine, actually, it's funny you bring this up today. What's the date today? Today's January 11th. A friend of mine, African-American pastor out here in California, just yesterday unveiled a series of billboards around the black neighborhoods, the predominantly black neighborhoods of Los Angeles. And the billboards basically have a picture, a cute little picture of a black baby on it, and it says on it, "Endangered species. Brothers, we need to talk," you know, and that's good. Got their contact info on there and everything, but he and his organization have invested in 70 billboards across LA to talk with the African American community about why are we doing this? What are we thinking, taking the lives of so many black babies?
Jennifer, if the abortion industry depends upon economically the hopelessness of women, you say they offer or they promise a quick solution. Do they give a solution? Do they provide any hope with what they are peddling?
Well, you know, it's a false hope. You know, it's one of those things where it seems like a good idea at the time. You know, having an abortion seems like a solution to a problem, and so that's why people do it. But the fact is, the consequences, the long term consequences, much more complicated than anybody in the abortion industry wants to admit. I mean, they still don't even want to talk about the fact that some women are traumatized by their abortions. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you every woman who has an abortion is traumatized. But they want to tell you that no woman is ever traumatized by it. And we know that's not true. It only takes one woman who's traumatized to contradict their claim, right? I mean, they're claiming it's completely harmless, benign, and nobody's ever bothered by it. Well, no, that's not true. There are a lot of people who are bothered by it. There are post-abortion trauma healing centers and services and retreats and stuff like that all over this country that are full of people. You know, there are online sites where women go and talk to one another, post-abortive women go and talk to one another about their depression and about their anxiety and about the fact that they can't sleep at night. And they talk to one another around the anniversary of when their baby would have been born, because that's a traumatic date for a lot of women. You know, so there are consequences to having an abortion, even if no baby ever shows up, and you know all the problems you thought it was going to solve are in fact solved. You know, you don't lose your job, and you don't have to drop out of school, or whatever it was you thought was going to be solved by getting rid of the baby. You may solve those things, but new problems occur. You know, and nobody really wants to talk about that. And the other real problem, I think, with abortion and the way that it's marketed as a solution to a problem. The other issue with it is that when you decide to carry your baby to term, that is a decision that you have to reaffirm every single day, because on any day you could walk into an abortion clinic and within a half hour walk out without the baby. For abortion, all you have to do is decide one afternoon that you don't want to have the baby, and the baby will be gone. You know, but the choice to terminate the pregnancy is one that can be made very quickly, in a sense, and can be made decisively, can be made once and for all, and with finality. Whereas the decision to carry the baby to term is a decision that has to be reaffirmed every day, right to the minute that you're in the labor and delivery room. And that asymmetry, that difference between the two kinds of decisions, is something that people in the abortion providing industry, they never talk about that. You know, they
about 15 seconds here.
Yeah, they criticize us for not being fair to the pregnant woman, but it's they who are offering really a false hope and a false solution to what is really a very different kind of problem than the one they're isolating.
Folks, you can check out the website and the blog for Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse and the Ruth Institute in the new year. You'll find a link at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder and president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, we'll talk with Shane Rosenthal about the Jesus of Bill O'Reilly and Stephen Colbert.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Thank you for helping us make Budget Again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for more than 2.5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to standing with you again in 2011. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues Etc.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.